Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, it's a film getting around. It's called Invisible Children, Rough Cut. It was made by three young Americans, basically a haunting documentary about Uganda's child soldiers, those thousands of children kidnapped by the Lord's Resistance Army and forced to become violent weapons in Africa's longest-running war. That film, in the past 6 years, has been seen by close to 7 million people around the globe. Imagine these three young guys get together and do this documentary and gets that kind of audience. And it's spurring a generation of people into action and prompting world leaders to push for peace in Central Africa. Not bad work for 6 years. A team from the Invisible Children organisation are actually in Australia this week. They're raising awareness of what's going on there. Manager of the tour, Jamie Roach, is with us. Jamie, welcome to Open House.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Good to talk to you. For those who aren't aware, give us a brief overview of Joseph Kony and the Lord's Resistance Army and where the current situation is with the LRA and you know, are they winning? Are they losing? Are they subsiding? What are they doing?
Right. Well, Joseph Kony is the leader of a rebel group named the Lord's Resistance Army. And the name itself is a bit confusing because Kony has started a movement that is trying to overtake the Ugandan government. This movement he started was supposed to happen 23 years ago, where they would take the government over and rule the country by the Ten Commandments. And essentially, as you can imagine, that's not how the story unfolded. 23 years later, Joseph Kony has become incredibly desperate with not having enough people supporting his movement. And so in the last 15 years, he has resorted to abducting children in the middle of the night, indoctrinating them through violent indoctrination, and then forcing these children at the earliest ages of 8 years old to fight in a war that nobody wants to be a part of. Mm-hmm. 23 years later, it's now become an incredibly desperate war that is led by Joseph Kony, who doesn't want to give up his power. Five peace talks have flopped in the last 23 years, and at this point, the war has become even more increasingly volatile and scary. He's moved over to the Congo. He was forced out of Uganda, and he's moved over to the Congo now. And in his state of desperation, he has been abducting, at this point, in the last month and a half, 570 kids.
In the last month and a half.
Yeah, and okay. He's killed over 1,000 in massacres in about 30 villages of northeastern Congo. So he's on a rampage.
How many children all up have gone through the Lord's Resistance Army, do you know? And how many are currently in there right now?
Right, yeah. Well, the numbers range, but we... the average is about 30,000 kids have been abducted in this war, which is just disgusting. And many have escaped. Many have died. But at this point, there are 3,000 reported to be in the actual LRA.
Yeah. You straight away think, you know, why would a guy think of abducting children and turning them into soldiers? I mean, you think, you know, do children have any particular power in fighting a war? What's the strategy behind using children?
Well, I think Kony sees the ability to brainwash these children at young ages. You know, he's taking these kids at, you know, 8 years old and forcing them to do the most horrific acts. And through that, the kids almost lose their sense of being a human. And it becomes a very easy way to brainwash these children into becoming fighters. And because they're so dispensable to him, he makes these children, fight his front lines. And often they're the ones that abduct more children. So they're, at young ages, able to sneak into schools and, with guns, abduct, you know, more kids. So
they're pliable and they're dispensable.
Yep.
Yes.
Exactly.
Isn't that horrible? Okay.
And moldable. Yeah.
And moldable. You were mentioning that he does horrible things to them in terms of, you know, brainwashing them into becoming soldiers. I mean, just give us some details. I mean, what kind of things do these? We need to paint the picture as to what these kids go to, I guess, so we can be enraged enough to move to action.
Yeah. I mean, I spent the last 15 months in northern Uganda and was shocked to find the number of kids that have fought in this war and have escaped. And their stories are atrocious. I mean, we're talking, these kids are abducted with their brother or a sibling, and Joseph Kony will make them kill their own brother just to essentially let them just forget about being a human after that. I mean, just raping is a huge part of the Lord's Resistance Army. Currently, in the last month and a half, there have been cases of hundreds of women and girls being raped by the Lord's Resistance Army. Mutilations. Women are the main target for mutilations, and their lips and noses are cut off, and they still survive through that. Yeah, it's absolutely horrible. But girls are abducted as well, and the girls are made to be what they call wives of the soldiers. So girls as young as, you know, 10 years old are having to be part of this rebel group and forced to be, child mothers.
10 years old. What's the youngest child you've heard of that's actually been involved in the Lord's Resistance Army?
I've heard of 8. I haven't met someone that's 8, but I know that there are many cases of 8-year-olds being abducted.
Okay. The youngest. Jamie Roach is who we're talking to. He's one of the team of the Invisible Children Awareness Tour. Invisible Children is a very moving documentary about the children we're talking about, the children who have been taken by Joseph Kony into the Lord's Resistance Army in Uganda, although now he's working in the Congo. Let's talk about the movie. So here's three guys who get together and do this documentary about it. And as a result, you've, well, what now, 7 million or something people that have seen the movie. And you're kind of gathering quite a movement around the world of people who are then moving out and saying, right, we're going to be part of the action here. We're going to be part of doing something about this. Now, tell me about some of these peaceful demonstrations that you've had. You've had a couple. Tell me about those.
We have. Actually, that's the whole reason that I got involved with Invisible Children. I was in San Diego, California, when the first big rally happened. And basically, it just started in a very grassroots way. People saw the movie and said, what can we do to help out with it? The filmmakers partnered with some lobby groups in the U.S. and basically just needed people to come out in big numbers to show their support for this, for what was going on. And in San Diego, there were 6,000 people who walked from their homes to their city centers in downtown San Diego and slept on the streets overnight. In doing that, in this peaceful vigil, they had banners and they filmed a really compelling piece of media that basically chronicled not only these 6,000 people in San Diego, but a total of 80,000 people around the United States that were doing that same thing overnight. And 80,000 letters arrived into the U.S. Senate the next day, as well as to the president's office. And through that, it had a big effect on our U.S. government and on the way that they were more aware of Uganda. A resolution was passed in the Senate because of it. But we continue to strive for awareness and then through that advocacy for our governments being a bit more involved.
Yeah, because I was going to ask, well, how does that, that's a wonderful thing, but how does that actually affect Joseph Kony? So 80,000 letters then arrive at the White House. And so that obviously is then starting to change the whole approach that your country then takes to foreign policy. But what can really happen then to Joseph through that?
Right. Well, it was exciting. This happened in 2006. So at the time, we were going along with the current situation in which we were demanding that the Ugandan government, who have traditionally been very, very not active in trying to end this war, there's this big North versus South divide in Uganda, and the southern Ugandan government, who do not like northern Uganda, do not support northern Uganda very much, were not proactive in trying to end this war. So our big push was for the U.S. government to be actively engaged in supporting Uganda's government and encouraging Uganda's government to pursue peace talks. And that is exactly what happened. The U.S. represented itself at the Ugandan peace talks, and the Ugandan government was then forced to participate. And so the peace talks went exceptionally far. They lasted just over a year, and we saw a lot of change happen. That's when the Lord's Resistance Army rebel group was forced out of Uganda. A lot of people were obviously in Uganda not affected by the rebel group anymore. But now that the situation's changed and the war continues, it's crossed borders and thus is pretty much the reason why we need to go internationally to gain support.
Okay, which is why you're here. Okay, so tell us about this event you've got coming up in April then.
Yeah, thanks. Our event in April is April 25th to 26th.
25th,
with
yeah.
respect to Anzac Day, we're doing it that night of the 25th until the morning of the 26th. And the event itself is going to be centered on the rescue of Joseph Kony's child soldiers. So that is the title of the event. And we're focused on encouraging 9 governments that have a big say in this world to influence both the Ugandan government in ethically ending this war and encouraging the International Criminal Court, which is, you know, the court body that has tried Joseph Kony for war crimes, to be active in pursuing Joseph Kony and arresting him.
Okay. Now, just briefly, where are you holding these events around Australia?
Thanks. Yeah, the events are going to be happening in Sydney and in Perth at this point.
Yeah.
But we're actually in Melbourne right now, and we're touring around there. We just got done about 10 minutes ago showing the documentary to a big group of people here, and more interest is gaining to see if Melbourne can be part of that as well.
I'm sure something will happen there. Okay, good to talk to you, Jamie. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much. Yeah. And people can check out our website. It's just invisiblechildren.com.
Yeah. Okay, good stuff. Let's try and generate a little bit more support for the work, because it's certainly a very, very good cause. It's a very good movement, and it's a movement that is certainly growing pace right around the world. Invisiblechildren.com.
We hope you enjoy this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.